Welcome to the Pneuma Church Podcast. Wherever you are in the world, we are so glad you've joined us. Our prayer is that this message will reveal more of who our Heavenly Father is as we grow deeper in intimacy with Jesus. Enjoy the message.
Coming back to the Word, we've been looking at Matthew. We've been looking at the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are these statements that Jesus gave to the disciples and to all the crowd that were listening on this mount. The Sermon on the Mount. So for the last, I think, this is our sixth week of looking at Matthew 5, where there's eight Beatitudes. We're up today to six. And the Beatitudes, these statements that talk about what being blessed looks like. And the world, and even when you look at the dictionary, will tell you that being blessed is maybe about the material things. It's about status. It's about wealth. It's about things going well. But Jesus talks about what it is to be blessed. And the way he puts it is so different to what we'd expect and how the world would put it, how we'd put it in normal terms. So there's eight of them. And last week we were challenged by James to memorize these eight, because we're going through one every week. And I don't know, is anyone memorized? Do you want to give us a little replay of what James showed us last week? Come on, anyone? Want to give it a crack? You want to, Candace? James is ready to listen. He was using his fingers. Do you guys remember anyone? Were you guys listening? All right, can we just scrap this? We're going to play the podcast and we're just going to listen. Oh, actually, I don't think that part was in the podcast. What happened? Oh, man, I'm just having fun up here all by myself. But James challenged us and it started with this. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of... And then it went to this finger here. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted, right? And then he said something about the middle finger. Don't give me the middle finger. He said something like that. But he said, blessed are those who are meek. And he was saying those who are low, who go down, who are humble, who humble themselves, because they're the ones that shall inherit the earth. All right, then we went to the marriage finger. Somebody's getting married. Hello. There's a few others getting married, but I can't see them today. They must be doing some wedding prep. There's some at the back there. You talk about marriage. The ring finger is about the desire that is between the couple. And what James was saying is, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they shall be satisfied. They shall be filled. Man, you took us on a journey, didn't you? Let's just keep going. And then the little finger was, blessed are the little, he said, the little. And he was talking about, blessed are the little ones, because they are merciful. Blessed are the merciful, because they will receive mercy. How am I going, James? Are you standing up there just to check in on me? Nah, he's doing something else. He's counting numbers, I think. All right, so that was five. And now today, we're up to six. And but six was actually starting with a thumb. When you go from five to six, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then we went to number seven, coming from this one, and we go here, but we just don't go there. We turn it into a peace sign. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Hey, I've been blessed with a good memory. I'll tell you that. It is hard work. It is a gift. So don't worry, but work on it. You'll get there. Next week, I hope someone else will try it out. Now, the last one was, I can't use the middle finger, was the one that sticks out. Right? It was like the ones that put themselves out there for Jesus, for the truth. It says, blessed are the persecuted. The ones that are talked down on because of their faith, because of they're representing God and they look down. But blessed are the persecuted, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I hope you didn't put that on the timer for me, because that just took up my time. Nah, it's all good. But it helps you remember, doesn't it? It helps you remember. So what we're looking at today is Matthew chapter 5. I've pretty much just read it out to you already. I'm not going to read through it again. You've heard what it says. Go back to the Word. Go back to the podcast. But the verse that we want to focus on today is verse 8. And the question that I have for myself and for you today is this: who shall see God? Who shall see God? What kind of person is that? That gets to see God, that sees God, that will see God. It says in 5 verse 8, it says, blessed. This is Jesus speaking. He's talking to his disciples. He's speaking to thousands of people that are listening on this mountain. He says, blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. He's saying this is who will see God. When you think about they shall see God, we've been talking about for the last few weeks that some of these things, when he says they shall inherit the earth, or it says for theirs is the kingdom of heaven, it's not all necessarily right now saying they shall. There's a seeing God that is to come. A seeing God that will come when we get to the other side, or when Jesus returns, or when we're resurrected, when we go to heaven, or when judgment day comes. There's a seeing God in fullness. But there's a seeing God now. We get to experience him now. Today, everyone has an opportunity to see God, to experience God, to know God. That's what I want to focus more on today, because there is the kingdom now and there's a kingdom yet. But I want to focus more on what we actually have in the now, which is also part of what is to come, but there is a now. So who shall see God? The ones that are pure in heart. When you think about the heart is what's inside. The heart is what really matters. The heart is the immaterial things that make up the substance of who you are. What's really inside? The heart is our motives. Why do we do what we do? Why do I think that way? Why do I react that way? Why do I want to work in that? Why did I do that? Why am I investing in this? It all comes from the heart. Why are you at church today? It all comes from the heart. Why do you need to buy that thing in the supermarket or on the internet? It all comes from somewhere. The heart is the core part of a human. And we're told the ones that will see God and that see God are the ones who are pure in heart. Not only that, they're poor in spirit. They're the persecuted. They're the peacemakers. They're the ones that are meek. Pure heart. Do you have a pure heart? Do I have a pure heart? See, it all starts. It actually all starts with seeing God. Having a pure heart. It says, blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. But you actually can't see God if you don't have a pure heart. But guess what? It starts with him. He's the one that created you and I. We're created in his image. We're actually created with him in us. But even when we search for him, when you go on a search for God, you're like, there's something more in this world. There's something more to life. That's just not you or I trying to do that by ourselves. That's actually something God put in you. There's a need. There's a vacuum. There's a God-shaped hole in you that he has put in there. So he's already started the work. And that, there's a seeing God in that. A pure heart can only come from God. You actually can't have a pure heart without seeing him. A pure heart can only come from God. We cannot conjure up a pure heart. You can try all you want to have a pure heart, but it doesn't start with you having a pure heart. It starts with you seeing God. But for you to see God, it means you said yes to the invitation, the knock of God on the door of your heart. He's always calling out to each one of us. It's whether or not we will listen. You think about a pure heart, the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17, verse 9, that the heart is deceitful above all else. We can try as much as we want. There is evil in all our hearts. It's real. Sin came into this world back at the start, and God gives each one of us free will to choose. And so the heart, just look at what people are doing in the world, what is happening in the world, or just listen to some of your own words or my words sometimes when things get tough and the real stuff comes out. It's like, man, the heart goes deep. The heart has got the potential to bring harm. But blessed are those who are pure in heart, for they shall see God. We were created to see God, and He's made a way for us to actually have the pure heart. He's the one that initiates. Do you have a pure heart? See, when you think about that word pure, the people back that were listening to that in those days, they'd grown up with the law throughout the Old Testament. It was all about being clean. There was all these traditions and ceremonies. Wash your hands, clean this animal if you've been unclean, and then that will bring you to cleanliness. There's all these rules, like hundreds, maybe thousands of rules. So they would have thought He's talking about being clean and following the law. He's talking about what we do. But He was actually talking more than that. He was talking about what's inside, and that what's inside influences what happens on the outside, what people see. Because there was the Pharisees in those days that were just doing all the right things to be seen. But inside, they actually weren't clean. They were doing it all for the wrong reasons. When you hear that word pure, P-U-R-E, pure. In Greek, it's the word katharos, K-A-T-H-A-R-O-S. That word means clean, but it actually means unmixed. Think about pure. It means unmixed. There's no mixture. Think about wine. A good wine is not going to be adulterated with water. It's got to be pure. Think about milk. You don't want to dilute milk with water. You want it to be pure. Once you put water or anything else in, it's mixed. It's not pure. Think about metal. Compare metal with alloy, which is not genuine metal, which is not pure. If you put alloy into metal and mix it, it's not pure anymore. So when you think about pure, it's something that's unmixed. It's something that's undivided. It's something that has no mixture. It's unalloyed. It's unadulterated. It is pure. Do you have a pure heart? Do I have a pure heart? You think about when you give. When you give to the homeless person when you're walking down Flinders Street. Are you thinking just about the homeless person? Or is there a part of you that just wants to feel good about yourself because you've given? Or are you thinking about who else can see what you're giving? Are you going to have to go home and tell your kids that you gave the homeless person $100? See, there might be good things in that, but most of it is not pure. When someone is up here preaching, do I just preach for His glory, for His purpose? Or do I preach sometimes and wait for people to say, Pastor Steve, wow, that was a good sermon. And then that gives me self-satisfaction. I'd be lying to you if I said there isn't some of that. You'd be lying to me if you said that when you do something good, there's no other intentions in there for self-worth, self-prestige. Nothing wrong with some of that stuff, but it's all to say none of us can be pure without God. We can't. We can't be pure without it. It comes from Him. When you serve the Lord, when you work, is it pure? And the pure we're talking about is that God says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. He's saying He wants us to have undivided loyalty, undivided single-minded devotion to Him. There's nothing wrong with loving other people. But it's about, are you going to love anything or anyone else more than Him? Because we were all created for Him. And until we're just like, Lord, I'm focusing on You, we'll just be searching. And we'll not be happy. It will not be enough. But when we put Him first, things start to fall in place. We're able to love others in the way that we're supposed to. And that will still be a journey in itself. We're able to put our careers, our business in the right perspective. Pure hearts. When you read the Bible, when you study the Bible, when you do your devotionals, do you do it just to be with the Lord? Or sometimes do you do it to feel good, to feel superior, to have something that makes you feel like you are stepping up in some way? When you pray, when I pray, am I thinking, oh, what are others listening? What can they hear? Oh, I need to tweak my words a little bit so I can sound holy. Can you see that? None of us can be pure without Him. It all comes from Him. So what does that look like? He gives us the purity. It comes from Him. He made us to be pure, because you actually can't be in His presence or get close to Him without that purity. But it only comes from Him. But when He gives you that purity, which is accessible to everyone, we still mess up. So what happens when you mess up? What happened to David in the Bible? King David. He messed up big time. But the Bible still says he was a man after God's own heart. But he messed up. And when he committed adultery, he slept with someone else's wife. And then to cover up, he kills the husband. And then he tries to cover it all up. Then when he finally gets it, comes to the right place to own up, this is what he says to the Lord. In Psalm 51, 10 to 13 says, Psalm 51, this is David. He says, create in me a clean heart. He's going, I can't do this by myself. I need a clean heart. He's asking, oh God, renew a right. If he's saying renew, it means it was there before. So he's saying, renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence, and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I'll teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will return to you. Verse 14 says, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God of my salvation. My tongue will sing aloud of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with the burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, will you not despise? This is what God desires of you and I. Broken hearts. Broken for Him. Contrite. Humble. Going, Lord, I can't do this by myself. There's so much noise around me. There's hurt around me. There's hurt in me. I need you. Jesus said He would come for the broken and He would heal them. So David asked for God to create in him a clean heart. Purity can only come from that which is pure. We want purity? It can only come from that which is pure. From Him who is holy. We're saying it today. Holy is the Lord God Almighty. Holy forever. He is the Holy One. Holy means sacred. Holy means set apart. Holy means sanctified. He is the only one that can make you and I, who makes us pure by what He did on the cross. The Bible says all have sinned. All of us have sinned and fall short of his glory. We have all lost the mark. We cannot match up to his character. But he loves us so much that he made a way. He sent his one and only son, Jesus Christ, to live, to love, and then to die. He gave his life. He was pure. Jesus was pure. The Bible tells us he was tempted in every way, just like you and I. But yet he did not sin. He was fully God, fully man. Someone had to pay the price. See, the price for sin, sin is any thought, word, or deed that does not line up with him. The price for that is death and separation from God forever. But God made a way. Jesus lives perfect life, shows us how to live, shows us how to love one another, how to love God. It's all in the Bible. And then he does what he came to do. He gives his life. He dies a painful death, the worst death anyone could ever die. He's God, his Father, our Father forsakes him. Father, why have you forsaken me? But then 3 days later, he rises again, as was prophesied. He defeats death so that when we die, that's not the end. That when anyone dies, that does not have to be the end. And then he lives on this earth for another 40 days. And then 10 days after the 40, the Holy Spirit, he sends his very presence. He lives 40 days after resurrecting, goes up to be with the Father. Then he sends the Holy Spirit, God's presence, to be available for everyone who says yes. And that's when purity comes. The Spirit comes. When you say yes to that, it comes. There's a deposit that gets put in all of us into that God-shaped vacuum. He puts a deposit of his Holy Spirit. Things start to click. Things start to make more sense. And then we go on this journey with him of growing in holiness, growing in love. Purity can only come from that which is pure. But you know what happens when we see God? When you experience God, when you start to get to know God, when you see God, he actually shows you where you are. He shows you who you are, where you're at. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Seeing God shows us where we are. Think about Moses in the Bible, in Exodus. He's out there looking after the sheep. There's a burning bush. What is going on? The bush is all good, but it's burning at the same time. An angel appears to him. It's pretty much God appears to him. He turns aside to look at God. God's like, do not come near me. You'll get hurt because he's so holy. But he's saying, you actually need to take off your shoes because this is holy ground. He has an encounter with the Lord, where he sees how holy, how majestic the maker of heaven and earth, the giver of life is. The one whom everyone needs. The one who had an assignment for him to go and save his people. He has an encounter with him. But he starts to go, but I can't do that. I'm not worthy. I can't speak. So he sees God. He's holy. And he starts to see where he's at. And how he can't do this. He can't do that. How much of God he needs. The prophet Isaiah has an encounter with the Lord. He sees the seraphim from these angels. He sees them worshiping. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And in God's presence, as he's seeing God, he has this revelation, woe is me, in Isaiah 6, verse 5. Woe is me, a man of unclean lips. He sees how lost he is, how the people are lost. He sees where he's at. God shows him where he's at. And then God, through that angel, puts a call on his lips and anoints him to do his work. When we see God, he shows us where we're at. And once you see him, you know, seeing him could just be reading the word. See him could be hearing what he's saying right now. Could be the Holy Spirit speaking to you. Seeing him could look like so many things. Knowing him, hearing him. Anytime you see the Lord, you experience the Lord, there's an invitation to see where you need to be, to see where you are. When you have an experience with God, when you're in his presence, he exposes things in your heart, in my heart. If I'm willing, he convicts you, he challenges you, and you cannot be the same. You can't be the same when you experience God, when you see him, when you encounter him, when you feel him, or when you hear of him and are open. You cannot be the same. You're challenged to be transformed. Transformed to the original intent that God had for you. See, as you walk with Jesus, these people were walking with Jesus, the disciples. They're walking with him. As we walk with Jesus, walking with Jesus today, with him in your heart, is reading his word, hearing what he says. As they were walking with Jesus, in Luke 6:48, which is also the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says these words to them. He says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. And the evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. The things that we say, the things that I say, they come out of the abundance of my heart, of your heart. Out of the abundance of your heart, the mouth speaks. As you experience God, as you get to know, he convicts you. Convicts me about the things that we say, the things that we do. Where are they coming from? They're coming from our heart. How do they get in your heart? Who are you listening to? What are you listening to? What are you watching? What are you dwelling on? Who are you hanging out with? That all can affect your heart. That can bring mixture. We need more of this in our hearts than anything else. And then based on that, you choose what to be open to. And if things come towards your heart that shouldn't be there, the Holy Spirit coupled with the Word will help you to protect yourself from that. I hear that, I see that, but that is not my portion. I'm not going to let that affect my heart. If it affects your heart, you can repent like David. You can say, Lord, this thing's got in my heart. Help me get it out. He heals. He restores. What's coming out of your mouth? What's coming out of my mouth? I grew up with a big mouth. Got me into a lot of trouble. I knew one of my mates that his mom had passed away. No, his dad had passed away years before. But he got me really mad one day and I said something bad about his dad. And I didn't really mean it, but I said it. So I must have meant it somewhere, somehow. But there was something deep in my heart that just came out and lashed out. We've got to watch our words and where they're coming from. I continue to work on my words. It's a work in progress for all of us. What are you doing with your hands? What are you doing with your mouth? What's coming out of your mouth? What are you putting your hands to? Where is it coming from? Who shall see God? See, what we do with our hands, what we do with our mouths, what's on the outside is just a reflection of what's in here. And it's so easy to not pay attention to what's in here and just do. Be like, how did we end up here? But we're told that the people who will see God are those that are pure in heart. Let's go to Psalm 24, 3-4. It says, who shall ascend? Who shall go up the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? This is just saying, who is that person who will get to be in a place where they can experience God, where they can be in his presence, where they can stand in his holy place? Jesus has made God's holy place be available anywhere, anytime. In those days, in the Old Testament, that was a specific place. But today, anytime is tea time because of what Jesus has done. But who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He says, he or she who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to what is false and does not swear deceitfully. This is challenging. How do we have clean hands and the pure heart? How do we not lift up our souls to what is false and not swear deceitfully? God's got to give us a way, and he's given us a way. The person who will see God is one with clean hands and a pure heart. But only he gives you and I the ability to have the clean hands and the pure heart. See, when you read the word, when you open it, you got to let it read you. You got to let it read your heart. Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. This is seeing God. As you open his word, he shows you where you're at. You let the word read you. Who can ascend the hill? One with clean hands and a pure heart? Oh Lord, I need to grow in having a heart that has no mixture, that is pure. You see, if your lips don't match your heart. See, it's easy for me to speak. You can tell I can talk. It's easy for all of us to talk one-on-one with other people. We can talk and talk and talk, but it doesn't always match what's in our hearts. Jesus said to these people, he said, you honor me with your, you give me lip service with your mouth, with your lips, but your hearts are far from me. He wants what's in our heart to match with what's on our lips. See, we can act. We can do it. We're so good at it as human beings. We can play church. We can play holy. But this is what happens. If what your lips are saying doesn't match with what's in your heart, you can do that for a while. But then your deeds are going to find you. My deeds are going to find me. I can talk it up. But something's going to happen. What's in the secret will come out in what I do and how I mess up. Because God cares so much about what's in our heart. And when he allows those things to be exposed, actually because he cares and he wants us to be a consistent people. If we're struggling, let's talk about it. Let's work on where that's coming from so that the heart and our lips and our deeds are all aligned. Our deeds can match, can look like they match what's in our heart. Oh man, this guy is doing, look at what he does for those people. Look at how nice he is. Look at how that lady, just, oh, she's like a Martha. She's always serving. So it can look like someone's got the best heart and not struggling. But if the deeds don't match the heart, before you know it, sometimes the lips will find you because the words will just come out. Like, whoa, where did that come from? Tell me where that came from. So the heart's so important. And we got to tend to our hearts. If your lips don't match up with your heart, your deeds will find you. If your deeds don't match up with your heart, your lips will find you. If you want to see God, if I want to see God, I've got to go up on that mountain. Got to be intimate with him, spend time with him, prioritize him. See, when we think about a pure heart, We're talking about pure holiness. This is something that you and I are called to. Every human being is called it. Because when you encounter God, like Moses did, like you and I get to every Sunday, but every other day when we're just open to Him, we actually see that there's a need and a call to be holy. Holiness is a thing. When He talks about blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God, it's talking about the holy ones. You see, holiness, being set apart, being sacred, it's a gift. Holiness is a gift that comes only by grace. Holiness is a gift, but it's actually also a response. It comes through grace. He gives it to us. He's holy. He makes you holy. But then there's got to be a response. We've got to do something with the holiness that He gives us. We talk about righteousness. The act of doing right. He gives us righteousness. What's the difference between purity and righteousness? Purity is that state of our heart. That clean heart that can only come from God. But it can't just end there. He gives us that. And He gives us the position of being righteous in Him. He sees us as righteous. But then when you think about righteousness, to walk in that, that's actually the act of doing right, doing good. So we receive purity by His grace, holiness by His grace. But at the same time, we've actually got to walk it out. We've got to step it out. We've actually got to do something. Thank You, Lord, for Your grace for making me holy. But the Lord has been on this since a long time ago. Take it back to Leviticus. There's Leviticus 11:44, Leviticus 19:2 for those writing notes. Leviticus 11:44, 19:2. 1 Peter 1:16 says, since it is written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. It's been written, you shall be holy, for I am holy. This is the call that God has for each and every one of us. And it's actually not pressure. I can feel like pressure. But He's done everything we need to walk in it. He's given His one and only Son, Jesus Christ, that if we accept Him, He comes into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. He strengthens us. He walks with us. When we go through the tough times, He's with us through that. And then we get to walk in holiness. It's a gift by His grace, but we've got to walk it out every day with clean hands and what? And a pure heart. A pure heart is one that is undivided. It has an undivided attention and a single-minded loyalty to God. Pure heart, undivided attention to God, single-minded devotion to God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So when we have that pure heart that only comes from Him, and then we start to steward that day by day, guess what happens? We start to steward it day by day. It then actually starts to affect every area of your life. It's not just a heart thing. It's not just the position we have in Jesus. It actually starts to affect every decision I make. Every decision you make, every part of your life, your family, your kids, your business, what time you go to bed, what time you wake up, what movies you watch, what you do in your free time. That's not me commanding that. That's called giving our lives to the one who gave us everything, who gave us His life. When we're saying we want to be wholly set apart for You, we are set apart for Him. So then it affects every single area of my life and your life. But it's all about staying in a place where we can steward that pure heart. Because so many things can get in our hearts and affect our hearts. So then we have to steward that so we can continue to be in a place where we can see God. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. If I could please get the worship team to come up. So we have a response, church, that we can continue to make and choose to make every day. And I'd love to encourage you to make this our response, your response. May our response be repentance. May our response be love. May our response be holiness. Those three things. Imagine if all of us, day by day, that was our response. Repentance, love, and holiness. Why repent? Because we mess up. We get it wrong. We're always learning. We might become strong in that area, but then God shows you another area where you're messing up. Because none of us are going to be perfect until the day we meet Jesus Christ. Being Christ-like, we grow to become more and more like Him. So repentance actually helps us to steward, to maintain a pure heart. Because when we mess up, the Holy Spirit goes, what did you do there? I tried to tell you before you did it. You weren't listening, but what did you do there? And it's like, Lord, what did I do? And He tells you what you need to do. Say sorry. Ask Him for help. He will help you address it. He will help you ask someone else for forgiveness. He will help you in whatever situation, whatever you need. We heard it today. He's our present help in time of trouble. We're taught in Psalm 139 what repentance looks like. Psalm 139, 23 to 24. This beatitude, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This is one that commands and demands you and I to stop and to examine ourselves. But not just to stop and examine ourselves, but to actually say, God, you search my heart. David said, search me, O God, and know my heart. God already knows your heart, David. But he's calling out, God, search me. Know my heart. I don't want to hide anything from you. I know you know it. But Lord, show me, try me, and know my thoughts, and see if there be any grievous way in me. He's saying, Lord, show me what's in my heart. Does it please you? Does it not please you? And if it doesn't, Lord, lead me in the way everlasting. He's repenting, saying, God, I need you. He's saying, purify my heart. We're to take time to actually see what's inside. We're to stop. We're to pause. Take time to see what's inside. How did it get there? Ask yourself that. How did this envy get here? How did this bitterness get into my heart? How did this jealousy get into my heart? I need to ask myself those questions. How did this mistrust get into my heart? How did this anger get into my heart? How did it get there? And the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, He's our guide. He's so good. You sit down with Him in a quiet place, He starts to show. Get a journal out, start to write things down. He will show you. He knows those things. Lord, what's in my heart? How did it get there? Then ask Him, Lord, how do you see it? How do you see what's in my heart? He'll show you His unconditional love. He sees those things, but He goes, son, daughter, I've paid for that. I've got that covered. Just stay close to me. Just stay close to me. Stay in the Word. Stay in the Word. You see, we repent, but we've got to bring that repentance together with staying in His Word. When you stay in His Word, you know His heart. You get His heart into you. It's got to be part of your staple diet, getting into His Word. Part of my staple diet, eating this thing, because it's His heart expressed in written form. See, there's things that bring mixture in in our hearts that take away that purity. Just one little thing brings mixture. What are those things for you that bring mixture, that affect the purity, that divide the attention that God wants to be undivided? Those things that dilute His presence in you, His love, and what He wants to do. What are those things? Is it comparison? See, as we repent and we stay in His word, our response needs to continue to be love. Love for God, love for people. I said it before, Deuteronomy 6:5 says these words, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind." You shall love the Lord your God with all. That means no mixture, no division, no undivided attention. He wants all your heart, all your soul, all your mind. It all starts and stems from the heart. The Bible tells us that we're to guard our hearts. It says, above all else, Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart, for it is the wellspring of life. It all starts with the heart. You got to guard that heart. You got to protect that heart. What's going into your heart? What are you letting in your heart? So we're to love the Lord with all our heart. And then the holiness will flow. It'll flow. Holiness will flow. If you're repenting, if you're loving Him with all your heart and listening to what He says, be holy for I am holy. It is this pure heart that becomes a platform. Our hearts being pure in Him become a platform. They become a resting place for Him to rest. This is what He desires. Let's stand together, church. Will you say yes to His invitation to see Him? Will you let Him do a work in your heart? Will you let Him search your heart? Will you ask Him to create in you a clean heart and to not take His Holy Spirit from you?
Thank you for joining us. We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. And we realize that not everyone has had the opportunity to respond to the good news of the gospel. And for this reason, in all of our services and platforms, we want to extend to you the opportunity to follow Jesus. The Bible teaches us that we have been created for a relationship with God. However, sin, which is essentially disobedience, independence, and disbelief, or us simply missing the mark, entered the world and separated us from God. Romans chapter 6 verse 23 says that the wages of sin is death, and a debt was owed, and the Bible tells us that He, Jesus, demonstrated His love for us, that while we were still sinners, He died for us. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life." God so loved the world that He gave us Jesus, that whoever believes in Him will be saved. All that is required of anyone is that they believe in Jesus, the Son of God, who came, lived, died, and rose again so that we could be forgiven, made right, and given the right to become children of God and to have life forevermore with Him. Today, you can begin a relationship with Jesus. To believe in Him is to simply to respond with faith in our hearts and confess with our mouths that He is Lord. And we do that through a simple prayer. Follow along with me. Dear Jesus, I believe that You are the Son of God. I thank You that You love me and came to forgive me of my sin. I repent from my old way of life and I turn to follow You. I receive the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that You fill me with the Holy Spirit so that I can live a life of following after You. I thank You that I am born again as a child of God and that I am a new creation in Christ Jesus. Amen. If you prayed this prayer for the first time, we would love to connect with you and connect you to your next step and the local church in your area. You can contact us on our website at newmar.church. Thanks for listening.